I thought about reading the entire chapter. It's mighty good reading. There are 16 verses in it. Talks about bishops and deacons, and deacons' wives. It's got a lot of good instruction from the Lord in it. But I, for the sake of time, and I do encourage you to read it when you get home, study it, pray over it, try to do what it says. But I want to lift out of that chapter one verse to base my thoughts on today, and that's verse 15. Now here Paul is instructing the church. Now he, of course, is talking to young Timothy. This is the epistle of Paul to the apostle Timothy. But Paul has the church in mind. He's concerned about the church. Paul built a lot of churches. He organized churches. He traveled a lot. He was concerned about the churches. And when he was off in prison in Rome, he would write to them, and he'd say, I'd rather be with you personally, but because I can, I'm writing to you, and I'm encouraging you and instructing you to do these things as a Christian, as a church, as a part of the church, to have a good church and be a good church. Do this and do that and don't do this and don't do that. And Paul was a great man. And here he's speaking to us again today in verse 15. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how there oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul says, I want to tell you how you're supposed to behave in church. I wonder why Paul had that on his heart. You believe there's somebody that wasn't doing right in church? Surely there must have been. And I want to talk to you today about church donkeys. I don't know of anything any more rebellion and stubborn and contrary than an old donkey. Have you ever been to a donkey ball game? And the name of the game is you get on the donkey, you hit the ball, you jump on the donkey, you try to go to first base, and while you're getting the donkey to go, trying to get him to go to first base, he's wanting to go to third all the time. And you'll pull and you'll kick and you'll beat and you'll holler, and that old donkey just going on the opposite way. Well, did you know that's exactly the way we human beings are? The flesh cries out, we want to do this. But the Holy Spirit inside says you shouldn't do that. And we grieve the heart of God by trying to have our own way. That reminds me of a donkey, rebellious, stubborn, aggravating. I found in this day in which we live, that there's two groups of people that churches have to deal with. And I travel a good bit. And I'm in a good many different churches. And I can't say a lot of things when I'm sitting up here on the rostrum at churches and I'm preaching the revival and the pastor lets it go on. There's nothing I can do about it, but it bugs me. But I have noticed and taken notes and thought about some things that I see in the church that I am sure grieves the heart of a loving God. There's two groups of people. There's one group that's so dead, so cold-hearted, so formal, so dignified, and have so much starch in them that the Holy Spirit of God is ruled plumb out. If God throwed them a hunk of glory, it'd scare them to death. If God blessed them to shout and raise their hand, they'd die a dignified death before they'd do it. That's sad. That's pitiful. When folks can't have liberty to worship God according to the dictations of their own heart. Now, there's one group. On the other hand, we have another group. And they are so ignorantly afraid that they're going to be or resemble that other group till they go to the other extreme. And they holler, and they hoop, and they stand up, and they, and God ain't it. The worst thing I've ever seen in my life is people to try to be spiritual that God is not there. In the flesh, put on. Try to be more spiritual than somebody else. Man, I know that hurts God. I know it hurts the church. No, they go to the extreme the other way. And because of that, we have some church donkeys that don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. I'm sure that you'll agree with me when I say that we're living in an age of education. Education is easier to get today than it's ever been in the history of time. Education sometimes the worst thing that a person can get when it comes to spirituality. On the other hand, I think we need some training in some departments, in some areas of our churches. For some unknown reason, many churches are bringing up, raising, and I base this on my own experience from traveling from church to church, a bunch of church donkeys. And they just don't know how to behave themselves in the house of God. And my verse says, Paul says, you ought to know. That's why I'm preaching this today. I think that when most of us was children, our parents taught us, I'm talking about my age, how to act and behave in places. What's happened to that? I can look at children in right here in this church, and the way they act and carry on in this church, I can tell they ain't got no discipline in their house. Their parents let them do what they want to do. I stay in homes. And I remember one time not too long ago, I was in this home for a week, and that man and woman told me how precious and how nice and how kind and how polite their little boy was. He was about 5, 6 years old. But when Mama was making up the bed, and when Daddy was gone outside to feed the dog, that little fella, so nice and polite, was up on that couch behind me, kicking me in the back of the head, jumping over me, cutting somersets on the floor. Now, Mama would have never believed that. And I started to fight if I'd have told Daddy that, because Daddy just can't see nothing wrong. You better not believe everything your young'un tells you. Bless God, you better learn some things about your young'un. And if I've ever had battles in my life in pastoring churches, it's trying to tell parents that your young'un is not what you think they are. And I guess it's natural for us. But what's happened to the discipline in the home today? I've been taking notes all over this country. I want to preach about some church donkeys today. And if you recognize yourself in one of these donkeys, don't you take offense to me and take issue with me and go out here and low-rate me and talk about me. Bless God, you get somewhere in a prayer closet and you pray and you ask God to help you with this problem. You see, I only make the interpretation. You must make the application. You must apply it. And it'll never do you any good unless you apply it like a salve the pharmacist will prescribe for you. If you got the itch and he gives you some ointment, you'd be stupid to set it up on the shelf and say, I'm not going to apply it. No matter what that doctor says, I'm not going to apply it. Well, the same thing applies spiritually. When God's preacher feels a message from God is needful in the church, and you don't make the application, you just push it aside. Say, I don't care what he says. We should respect the house of God. If you've ever been called on to clean up a church, and I doubt many of you have, you'd know what I'm preaching about today. Chewing gum, books tore up, these song books marked in, these pews cut and scratched with some and pens and pencils that I begged you not to let your children have stabbed into this fabric on these pews. And some of you parents don't know what your children's doing in church. And they are tearing up and destroying God's property. I'm not mad. I'm not fussing. I'm only trying to get you to see that maybe you're raising some church donkeys, and you need to know something about that. Now, when you see these pews cut and torn and peeled and jabbed, the question in my mind is, does parents let their children do that in their home? Would you let them get away with that on your sofa or in the things around your house, the dresser, the wardrobe? Do you know? I think David placed quite an honor on the church in Psalms 84:10. David said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. That's an honor on the church. Let me mention some donkeys right quick. I got a lot of donkeys here I want to deal with in a little while to do it. Now I'll mention them. There's a moving in and out church donkey. Boys, they bray loud. Did you know there are hundreds of people who would never dream about walking up and down an aisle of a church while a service is going on? Did you know that? There's folk right here in this church wouldn't dare. They would think it was a terrible, awful, disgraceful, disrespectful thing to get up and prance up and down this aisle while service is going on in this church. And there's certain people in this church, and sometimes I feel like just hollering out, saying, Sarah, where are you going? But there's some, and most of them sits on the front or the middle. And when we go to give an altar call, for some reason or another, their kidneys act. Why do they act at the same time all the time at an altar call? I don't believe it's the kidneys. I believe it's just a habit somebody has. Boy, that's good preaching, ain't it? I don't believe folk ought to get up and go in and out of it. I don't like that. I think that's a church donkey, and I don't think you ought to do it, walking up and down the aisle of a church while people's praying. God help anybody that'll move around, that's disrespectful, and won't honor prayer when it's being offered by a person. Why, that's a terrible thing. I wonder what God thinks about a church donkey. And I call them a donkey because they don't know any better. I used to say if anybody get up and leave the church while service is going on, there's one or two things wrong with them or both. One is they've got to itch and they got to go out and scratch. Or the other is they got out of the asylum last week and they just ain't got no more sense and don't know no better. Whoopee! I don't understand it. Now I want to pass this on too. Now, this came from a lost man that visits our church. And he comes to this church, he's not saved. And one of our members witnessed to him about being saved, and you know what he said? And that member told me this. He said, I know I need to be saved. I know I need to be a Christian. I know my need. But he said, when I'm sitting in that church, in the auditorium, and when we first open the service and I'm praying and the choir's back here, he said, when I look up there and see them folks in that choir while that preacher's praying, sniggering, talking to one another with their eyes wide open, he said, there's a coldness comes over me. He said, there's a chill over me. And all conviction leaves me. And let me ask you a question. Them folks that's doing that in that choir, when that man stands at the judgment of God, will they stand there with his blood on their hands? Now don't you tell me he could get saved anyhow. You are a hindrance to that man. Don't you ever forget that. And I think people ought to be more careful of that. Looking around somebody while somebody's praying. talking while somebody's praying. Disrespectful while somebody's praying. That's a terrible church donkey. And Paul said you need to know better than that. You need to know how to behave yourself. I've been preaching when somebody would come in late. And somebody way over here was... How would that look up here to you if you was preaching? Somebody makes their late appearance, and they're looking for John Doe. They ought not have never been late to start with. If you're going to go, go on time. If you can't get there on time, start a little earlier next time. That's no problem. You can't start a little earlier next time, set the alarm clock to get up a little early, about 10 minutes till 10, instead of 5 minutes till. Just set it up. Just make arrangements. Just do things right. Amen. You remember the scripture I quoted earlier, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Then there's an old bored church donkey. If anything that bothers me while I'm preaching is somebody writing, thumbing through a book, got their head down with a pen. That's why I'm always on to these young folks, trying to train them and teach them not to be a church donkey. Be respectful. Look, listen, give attention. Whoever's in the pulpit, whoever's a Sunday school teacher, it's disgraceful, it's shameful, it's awful. And I'm not going to stand up here. See, I give an account to God at the judgment, not only by my individual Christian life, but I'll give account to God as to my leadership. And if I don't preach to you what Paul said, I'm not being true to the Word of God, and I'm not being fair to you. But then there's an old bored church donkey. Disrespectful. Sit and act bored. Thumbing through a book. Looking through the Bible, just thumbing, just writing. A lot of folks say I'm taking notes. These two preachers that's good friends of mine, I love them to death. But every time they go with me to a revival, they'll take a bunch of pencils and a bunch of books, notebooks. And the whole time I'm preaching, they got pencils in their mouth and they got them down here and they used to write. How in the name of the Lord can they know what I'm saying and keep their mind on what they're writing? And I'll get around to telling them one of these days. When I do, I'm going to shoot both barrels too. I believe that's disrespectful. I believe that's nothing but bored. Then there's the old loud braying church donkey. On a bray loud. God pity any choir member that tries to sing louder than the person next to him. Now, if that's your natural way of singing, then that's all right. But if you're trying to out-sing the person next to you, you're an old braying, loud braying donkey. That's all you are. You're wanting to get attention. And I think that a person that like that is far from being attractive in any way in the church. Trying to get recognition, getting away from being harmonizing with the other members of the choir of the congregation. And when I hear something like that, you know what immediately comes to my mind? An old donkey out in the field with long ears and one flopped. And them a braying. I just don't think God's pleased with it. I believe it's church donkeys. Then there's an old staring church donkey. You ever have anybody just to stare at you and stare at you like a fool? How'd that make you feel? I don't mind it if I'm up here and folk are staring. They do that all the time. I'm used to that. But when I go to a church, and sometimes I go to start revival, never been there, don't know a soul, and I finally find the church, and I go in, and I walk in there, and I sit down, and because I'm a stranger, because I'm a visitor, man, people just stare, and they'll turn plumb around and look backwards and stare at me. And there was one preacher that pastored a church down below Spartanburg that told me he was resigning the church because the church couldn't grow because of one woman in the church. And he told me who she was, and I remember, I know her well. I used to pastor. And he said that that woman would turn around and start a fool out of any visitor that come, and said that she'll run them off. Said they're oh so uncomfortable, they just squirm and twist, and that heifer sitting there just to start them down like an ignoramus, a staring church donkey. Folks, it's not nice to stare at people like that. And when we get out here on visitation and beg people to come to church, and some of you stir them away, we're fighting a losing battle. Boy, that's good preaching. Stirring it, folks. Shame on you. I don't think that anybody has been taught to do that in our church. Hey, some things that we just naturally born pick up that displeases God, you don't have to teach people to do anything. Have you ever heard tell of anybody teaching their young'un to lie? Then where do they get it? Does anybody teach and train anybody to steal? No. I don't think nobody teaches you in Sunday school around here to stare at folks either. I think the devil puts that in you. I get embarrassed sometimes. Visitors come to this church. People stare at them like a fool. I think about the golden rule when I think of this old staring donkey. You know what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's bad. Or not to do it. Then I know there's the old show-off church donkey. I mentioned that a minute ago. They like to come in late making a lot of noise. Hallelujah, glory, praise the Lord. And maybe the church dead as a doorknob. God hadn't blessed it in years. It's like a morgue. But they got to show off and they got to get attention. I think about some of our preachers when we go to the National Association or the state shows. And I'll go down to Florence Thursday. Thing will start the registration about 9:30, I guess. We'll all be in there and they'll start service about 10. And there'll always be some show-off church donkeys that'll come in late and make their appearance. They'll have their briefcase. They ain't got nothing in it, but they bring it. And they'll stumble in that door. And everybody will turn around and stare at them. And boy, they'll grin like a possum. That's a show-off church donkey. New clothes they want to see. Some women a new hairdo they got the other day. They just got to get attention. Some men gets a new suit, you know, and nobody's had a chance to see it, and he really wants them to see it. He'll wait late to come in, and he'll come in coughing or sneezing or hollering, and they'll turn and look. Have to get attention, you see. Like to prance down the aisle and show off a new hat or a new shirt, new dress. I think conceit is a mild word for stuff like that. Then there's that old attention-getting church donkey. Boy, this is a very, I think, delicate subject right here. But I feel it's one that needs to be preached or discussed or talked about. Any person that knows me knows good and well that I love good, healthy amens and praise the Lord and hallelujah in church. I'm emotional. I don't care who knows it. I don't care if God blesses me. I believe in shouting. But I believe you ought to get plugged in before you start. I believe it ought to come from heaven. I believe your heart ought to be warm and your cup running over. I don't believe you ought to be jumping up and shouting and hollering, amen. Did you know what? I was in a church preaching a revival one time, and there was a young man on the front seat, and that man amened, amened, hallelujah, glory to God, amen, praise God. And I'd say, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. And that man would say, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, that's not a time to say that. And that was just a habit. And people ought not to have that habit. Young preacher preaching one time, and he was preaching on John 3, you must be born again. He hadn't been preaching long. He didn't know much about theological things. He was just preaching. And he said, you got to get born again. If you don't get born again, you'll be lost. He said you have to be born again. Praise the Lord. He said you have to get born again. Thank the Lord. He said, everybody. He said, there sits my mother-in-law. And he said, if she don't get born again, she'll go to hell. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? That's attention-getting, church donkey. Just fighting the wind. I don't like that. I'm against the person calling the attention by emotionalism when God's not in it. And I see a lot of it, man. Some will say, man, look at that fella shout. Let me show you how to shout. Nail cut loose. Hold my baby while I show you how to shout. And on it goes. Getting the attention to themselves away from everybody else. Commotion in the church. They think that impresses others. Well, it does, but they just don't know how. I just can't hardly see some things like that. Saying amen, glory to God, preach it, brother. Shake that bush, come on, get it. I like that, but I don't like it when it's out of order. Amen. I think it ought to be in order. I think it ought to be, praise God, hallelujah, when the power of God's being manifested, when it's real. I think that's when it ought to be. Amen. Have you ever noticed the old chewing gum, chewing church donkey in church? Now, surely we wouldn't have any of them at peace, would we? I saw some of his jaws were flopping a while ago, but all of a sudden they got quiet when I said that. Chewing gum, church donkey. I'm ashamed to have to mention this, but we got them right here at Peace Church. If you had to stand in this pulpit, preach to a group of people chewing gum, you'd know exactly what I'm trying to say today. Reminds me of a feller that he said that he was preaching in a revival, and there was a tall, slender, elderly man that sat right next to the aisle, and that feller would go to sleep every night on his sermon. And instead of nodding forward, he'd nod backwards, and his mouth would flop open. And he's standing up here looking right down his throat while he's trying to preach. Now, you can imagine how it would distract his attention and how he could keep his train of thought looking at that man's tonsils there in the church. And he said it got on his nerves so bad. Now, this is going to be funny and humorous, but it's so. He told me it was so. I wasn't there. I don't know. But he's a good man, and I believed him. And he said he and the pastor went downtown and went to the drugstore, and he got him some powdered quinine in a little cellophane, and he opened it, poured it in his pocket loose. And that night, that feller got in the twilight zone. And he was preaching on the prodigal son, and he had the son going away from the father, and he went down the aisle, and he illustrated it. And that old feller sat down. And he came back up the aisle when the prodigal got out of the hog pen and started back to the father. He came back up the aisle and came past him and reached in his pocket and got the powdered quinine and dropped it in his mouth as he went by. He got up here and looked back, and that fellow was making all kind of didos, and he jumped up and he run to the altar, and he said, folks, come and pray with me. My gallbladder's busted. Well, I guess that cured that donkey. These kind of donkeys need some kind of cure. So a church person that chews chewing gum in the church is about as bad as a person sleeping in the church. One fellow, old dead preacher, said, Brother John, would you punch Brother Jim and wake him up? And John said, bless God, you put him to sleep. You wake him up yourself. There's a lot of these church donkeys that we need to think about and need to talk to our children at home about. You see, we only have your children a couple of hours a week. And you've got them all week long at home. If you don't try to teach them and train them something at home, if you let them be church donkeys and grow up to bring disgrace and reproach on the house of God, how do you expect the church to straighten them out? Then there's an old, improperly dressed church donkey. I'm sure a lot of you will disagree with me when I say about this, but I can't help it. This is the way I feel. As far as I'm concerned, God be pleased with what I'm going to say. I don't think that a lady ought to come to church with a one of these dresses on. It's got these straps, and it's open in the back and cut way down here. That's to go to the dance halls with, not church. I don't think that women ought to come to church wearing pants that looks like a man. I don't think that men ought to come to church dressed slouchy and sloppy and acting like you'd act if you went down to the beach on vacation. I believe you need to respect the house of God. And there's some church donkeys in the church that has no respect on the church whatsoever. Folks, that's bad business. I love to see folks in sports shirts. That doesn't bother me. I don't mind seeing dungarees on men if they're clean and they don't have no better. But I believe when we go to church, I talk to these ushers all the time. Talk to Brother Harold and tell him to talk to them. I can preach and preach and beg and plea in a meeting with ushers until I'm blue in the face and say, fellas, look decent. Dress decent. Wear a tie. Wear a shirt. Look good. You're up there before that people, and you're opening that door for people, and you'll give people the impression of our church by your appearance. And it won't be 3 weeks until some of them will come slopping in here, look like a plowboy. What do you do with church donkeys like that don't listen to what you try to teach them? What do you do? How do you handle it? I don't know. But there's an improperly dressed church donkey. Now, I said I didn't guess that you would have. But I want my wife to look and dress and act like a woman. I don't want a wife that I have to look and wonder, is that a man or a woman? What do you think of me if I come in this church with a dress on? I'd be the laughing stock of this country, wouldn't I? And I go to some place, bless God, and preach where all the women, you don't see a dress nowhere on none of the women. They're all pants. Now, I know some of you's going to get up to Miff Tree. But let me tell you something. If I'll show you in the Word of God where the Bible says you shouldn't dress that way, will you listen to what I'm saying and take it in the spirit that I'm preaching it in? Look in your Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 22. In verse 5. I believe I got my scripture right. I'm pretty sure I have. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Doris and I was somewhere the other day, and we saw a young lady, with pants on. You see it all the time. That's nothing unusual. But so help me, and I told Doris, I said, I want you to look how tight. Why is it that women have to wear them so tight? Why, if you men wore them that tight, you would look scandalous. But them women looks like they're melted and poured, and they want to strut with them things so tight, you know. Want everybody to look at their figure or something. I don't know what they're up to. That looks terrible. If you'd get them three sizes bigger, if you're going to wear them at all, you'd look much more decent in them. Ain't it quiet in here today? I'll tell you, folk, the improperly dressed church donkey does a lot more damage than we think they do. I've been to some churches where the piano player looked like a worldly pleasure seeker. At some summer resort, I wanted to borrow a coat and go over and throw across her legs to cover her up because of the way she was dressed. One more church donkey right quick I want to mention, and that's the courting church donkey. Courting. We had some visitors come to our church here a while back, and during a revival, I believe it was, and they sat on that back seat back there, a boy, a long-haired hippie, and a girl. And the girl had on pants, I believe, and the boy had his hair down to his shoulders, and that is all that messed up. That is different. And it reminded me of a time when I was at Heron Circle Church. There's a fella called me and wanted to know if I'd marry them. And I talked to him a little bit. I said, well, I'll talk to you about it. And they came to my office. They came in a Volkswagen. I'll never forget this. They both had on pants. They both had long hair. They both had fair complexion. They both had their fingernails manicured, looked so neat and clean. And they introduced themselves. And they both talked like a woman. And so help me, when I turned around and they moved, I didn't know who was who. And when I was marrying them, I'm supposed to say, will you take this man who now stands by your side? And will you take this woman? And I didn't know which was which. And what are you doing, Kate? Isn't that a terrible shame when you can't tell a man from a woman? Isn't that awful? You speak to a man, say, hello there, how you doing? You speak to a woman and say, how are you today? She turns around and says, shut up. You just don't know who's who. That's awful. I don't think God intended for it to be that way. So when these couple got together, and I said I was going to perform the ceremony, and I was supposed to say, will you take this man who now stands by your side and hold you by your hand to be your lawful wedded husband? Then I was supposed to say, will you take this woman that stands by your side, be your lawful wedded wife, and hold you, so forth and so on. What was I going to do? I didn't know. And I'm not being funny. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I done? I said, well, whichever one you are, take whichever one you are to be whatever you're supposed to be. Now, it's awful to have to marry people like that, ain't it? But bless God, when you can't figure them out, that's all there is to do. That sounds better than calling her to him. But there's people in the church that just can't keep from courting in church. That's a courting church donkey. Now, if they're so sweet and so good and so pretty, and you love them so much that you can't keep your hands off of them, you ought to stay out of church until you get to where you can keep your hands off of them. And that couple that comes. Well, they jumped up and moved over. That's what they ought to do. But I'm sure them people went away from me and talked about me like a dog for having to do that. And I shouldn't have had to have done that. And we've got some of you that have come in here, and I beg and I plead and I say, show me a little red between you. Don't sit like that. You don't go to church and sit and act like you do in an automobile at a drive-in movie. These courting church donkeys that just have to loll and wallow over one another in church is a disgrace to God. I hate to have to get up here and carry on like this. But what do you do? Just let it get worse and worse and worse. After a while, bless God, we'll have to start locking the church door to keep them out. You need to go home or go somewhere and park if you can't help it. I read a little something here a while back, and I jotted it down here, and it was entitled, and I was thinking about this when I read it, and I'm going to close with this. I don't expect to get no sinners saved preaching like this today. Sinners, please come back and let me preach to you about Jesus. Tell you what he'll do for you. But I jotted this down, and it's entitled, Why Go to Church? Here's what it says. Some go to church to take a walk. Some go there to laugh and talk. Some go there to meet a friend. And some go there their time to spend. Some go there to meet a lover. Some go there a fault to cover. Some go there for speculation. Some go there for observation. Some go there to doze and to nod, but the wise go there to worship God. I thought that was good. Let's bow our head for prayer. Musicians are coming. Choirster's coming. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm not going to ask for anything at all. I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. And if you don't, if, as I said previously, if you find yourself in one of these categories, if you don't want to come forward, you go home and pray about it. You just don't know the damage you cause when you don't behave in the house of God. Dear Father, we love you today. We love you, church. It's the greatest organization on the face of the earth. It's a real honor to be a part of such a great organization that the world, all the forces of hell, are in opposition to. The church has been fought, been despised, been neglected, been talked about all through the years. But thank God she still marches on to victory. One day the Lord Jesus is going to lift us out, take us yonder to heaven to be with him. And when we stand in your presence, dear Lord, we want to hear that well done. So I pray you'd bless these remarks today for the intended use and purpose. Speak to hearts and help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand.